did get an update from Justin Rhodes, and I want to read it to you. He said, January is a very exciting month for our family as we welcome Elena Quinn Rhodes into the world. She was born 12 January 2021 at 10:59 p.m., weighed 6 pounds, 14 ounces, while being 20 and a half inches long. We are so thankful that everyone is home and doing well. Rachel did an amazing job with the delivery, and all her health troubles over the past month and a half have almost completely disappeared. Justin's mother flew in to help out, and will stayed all pretty much most of January and going into the first half of February. And he said, what a huge blessing it has been to have her with us this first month of Elena's life. Big sister loves having a new baby to cuddle and kiss all day as well. They are now in a third lockdown in the UK. So he said the UK started its third lockdown on 5th of January. We've seen everything close again except for grocery stores and a few other essential things. He said, thankfully this time, though, churches are allowed to keep meeting for worship services in person, but they cannot provide any children or youth classes. We have been thankful for the small group that comes each week in person, and especially for the faithful members that continue with us online. God keeps sending us first-time guests, and we've been able to keep meeting on Zoom for discipleship, small groups, and youth group. We are praying the lockdown will be lifted the first half of March and be able to have many new guests feel safe to join for Easter. They are having to raise money for a new car because of the change of emission laws in the UK. The car they have now does not meet the new standards. They can continue to drive the car they have now that does not meet the standards, but they will be charged a daily fee for every time they drive that car. So they are praying that they'll be able to trade it in for a newer used car, so they'll be fee-free. The van that they have does meet the new emission laws. So anyway, they have been able to raise 25% for that vehicle. And I tell you what, I don't know how in the world they get into that thing. When Justin drove up to pick me up in that thing at the airport, I was expecting clowns from the circus to start bailing out of that thing. I mean, it was so small. But anyway, here's his prayer request. He said, pray for our church members during this third lockdown and also the new strain of COVID that has hit London. Rachel continues to recover from having the baby and being very ill up to the birth. For the new baby, Elena. For the online ministries, and for Annabelle, their oldest child, as she transitions to becoming a big sister, and now dealing with Grandma and soon Grandpa leaving again. So there's that, and we'll have it posted up on the missionary board. Okay? All right, let's get our prayer sheets out. Yes, ma'am. He does not have a dollar set figure. He just said we've been able to raise 25%. Now, he does have, you can visit savinglondon.com/get-involved. And that may tell you a little bit more. Because he does say, would you consider helping us out with this project by donating? You can visit the website to learn how to give to our ministry. So they may have more financial details on that. But I stay pretty much in contact with him by Facebook Messenger, or probably at least once or twice a month to check on him. And he is real quick to get back up with me. So I'll shoot him a message and find out, and I'll get it to you. Okay? All right. And if you want to buy a new car, I can take one too, you know. yeah, I've got 0%. Yeah. So, all right. But he is a great guy. Do y'all remember when he came through? Just a great guy, doing of all the missionaries we support, he is one of those that is on the ball, giving us updates. I mean, it's every other week we're getting an update from him. He is doing the work, and I'm just very impressed with him. Okay, Scott mentioned Sunday night, a co-worker of his, Duncan Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D. He's in the hospital with COVID. His mother is in ICU with COVID, and his father is in observation with COVID. Is that correct? Okay. And I know him. He runs the intramural church leagues at Snyder Memorial. Just a prince of a gentleman. Always treated me with the highest respect. I saw him one Sunday night or one Friday night when I was doing the basketball. He threw out a church member. A church member was giving me down the road one night, refereeing a basketball game, and he walked over to him and said, "You can leave." I was like, "Yeah, you need to go to every basketball game I work." He did. So anyway. Now, I had something happen yesterday I have never had happen before in all my years of officiating. I was at a Christian school, and they only had like five spectators in there. So, of course, and it's a small gym, so you hear everything that's being said. Okay. Well, one of the players mouthed off to my partner, and the coach called a timeout and took that player center court and had him in front of the whole gym apologize to my partner and to everybody that was in that gym for mouthing off. I've never seen that before. That was a new one. So that's character building. That's exactly right. Respect authority. Yep, that's right. Okay. What's that? Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. So anyway, I do want to give you a couple of updates. I mentioned Sunday, but we've been praying for, what was her name again, Chris? Mrs. Hanelore Plank? Yes, she passed away. Have they had the funeral and everything? Okay, so pray for that family. And then we have been praying for Pastor Tim Rabin's father, David Rabin. He passed away Monday. They had the funeral today. Passed away Sunday night. Yeah, passed away. So all the family was able to get down to Alabama and be with him as he passed. So they had the funeral today, and just I watched it online, and it was just a very sweet service. Pastor Raven actually basically led the funeral, and then his dad's pastor said a few things, and then all the grandchildren spoke, son-in-law spoke, so it was very, very sweet. He's a retired fireman, and Gerald would really like this guy, because when he retired from the from being a fireman, he became a truck driver, long-distance truck driver. So they would have really gotten along well. So, okay, that's Robert Haney, right? Okay, so he's back home. Okay, all right. So we'll continue to pray for him. Okay? All right, so let's continue to pray for all of them, if you will. Matt Ruffin still having his medical testing, so we'll continue to pray for him. Dick Button is still in the hospital, as far as I know. And then all these for general needs and shut-ins. I do want to answer a couple of questions that some people have asked in regard to the COVID testing that is being done on site. Okay, everything is outside. Okay, I observed yesterday what they're doing. They've got cones set up, so they drive in one way. They'll drive up. The person, the clinic, there's a doctor out there who is over it. He works for the Infectious Disease Control Center of UNC Hospitals, so he is out there on site. They have one lady who does nothing but paperwork, and then a clinician who is a RN, and she is gowned up head to toe. She's got a shield. She's double masked. She's got gloves all the way up to her elbow. She walks up to the car. The person rolls down their window. They give them a clipboard, they fill out the paperwork, and then they do the tests. The swabs are put in a little tube. It is sealed. There's some stickers put on it, and then the person leaves. So the person does not get out of the car at all. The only time that a worker would come inside the building is to use the restroom. Okay? And that is a worker that is more than likely has not even had any contact with a person coming through for a test. Okay? And the way it was told to me, that you have a much higher chance of coming into contact with somebody with COVID going through the grocery store than you do with this situation. Okay? And to put everybody else mind at ease as well, Sean is bringing the fumigating machine from Liberty. And on Wednesdays before church, he is going through the building and spraying. And then after, on Saturdays, when they leave, she will also come through the building and spray. Okay, wipe down all the doorknobs. That way, all the bases are covered. Okay, so I want to put everybody's mind at ease. They kind of did this at Southview Baptist, and for a few months, they had no issues at Southview Baptist. And I don't think they would have allowed, they would have asked us to do it if they thought that the church would be at risk. Okay, so I feel. So Pastor Ken and I and the two deacons, we discussed it. We were perfectly at peace about it. And if you have any other questions, just ask. But I think that pretty much covers it. Yes, sir.
Likewise, we need to service
the community every chance. That's exactly right. In fact, I was talking to Joyce and Richard before church that there's probably more of a chance of contamination in the building when we have voting. Because we get a lot of people in here all at one time. And also we're having the Lifeline screening up here on Friday. Okay. So I think we're pretty safe. You know, I don't have any worries at all. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? I wanna make sure everybody feels comfortable about this and that there's no questions or issues. But I observed them for a little bit yesterday. And talk to them and talk to the head person at UNC that's the coordinator for all this. And they said you can have a perfect peace of mind that, in fact, this ladies' church up in Chapel Hill, they've been doing it at their church now for a couple of months. And they've not had any issues either. So, but I didn't want to lock the building with the workers being out there. And it was cold yesterday, not to be able to come in and just get warmed up for a few minutes and to use the restroom if they needed to. Okay? Anybody have any questions about that? All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray tonight. Does anybody have any other updates or anything? Jeff was telling me that he's got a couple of tests coming up in March, right? Got one with the cardiologist. I did another scan in March. Okay. All right. So let's continue to pray for him. Yes, ma'am? Yeah. I can't hear because of all the youngins out there screaming. You know sign language? Okay. Okay. So he's in a rehab facility right now? Okay. And is that temporary?
No, I think he's going to stay in there because he's bedridden.
Okay, so we could pretty much move him down to the shut-ins, basically. Okay.
They're not able to take them home.
Okay.
Too much.
Okay. Right. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray for him as well. All right. Anything else tonight? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, when you think you have it bad, you can always find somebody that's got it worse, right? Yeah. Right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. I did see that. Yeah, I did see that. Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah, I did see that. And they were worried if they were going to get there in time. He did have it today? Okay. Was this just to cover the bases before the transplant? Okay, to make sure there's nothing there? All right. Okay. All right, anything else? All right, Tyler, why don't you come on up here and lead us in prayer, if you will, please. All right, very thankful for our men that are here, Pastor Ken and Tyler and Jeff, and very thankful for them and the time that they take. So why don't you come up and lead us in prayer, if you will.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you for being able to just continually meet together. Thank you for the freedom to do that, Lord. We thank you so much for each and every one that has been able to come out tonight, as well for the kids, Lord. You can hear them over there in Awana, and I pray that you would just go before them as they're learning your word, and just pray that they would hide it in their hearts, Lord, that they might trust you and serve you with their lives. Lord, there's many, many health concerns going on with just with our church and then the extended church family as well, Lord. Lord, I pray that, you know, too many for me to cover them all right now, but Lord, you know each and every one, and we do just pray that we would be faithful as a church to be praying for them, you know, in our quiet times at home, everyone that is here, Lord. And I pray you just go before Pastor Dwayne as he brings your word. Pray using our hearts and lives, Lord. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Tyler. All right. Let's take your Bibles, if you will. I hope you have them. I want to invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. We're starting a new 13-week study tonight, talking about the I am, who I am. Okay. I have always found that interesting, that when Moses asked God, who shall I say is sending me? He just said, I am. Okay, don't know who you're talking about. Okay, I am. Okay, so let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Then we will be going back to the book of Genesis. So we'll be going through Genesis, we'll be going through Exodus tonight. Okay, not all of it, don't worry. Okay, but we are going to go through some portions of Genesis and some portions of Exodus. So the title of tonight's lesson is entitled, I Am Sovereign. I Am Sovereign. Okay, so let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Okay, it says, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations in the earth will be blessed in you. Okay? So I found that very interesting here. Okay? It says that is preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So now let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Now some of this that we're going to be looking at, if you have been here on Sunday nights at all, or maybe you've been listening to our Sunday night messages online, you'll know that for the last year, over a year, we've been going through the book of Genesis. So a little bit of this is going to be review for you. But let's look at the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. 12. And the first point is, God declared His plan for Israel and humanity. God declared His plan for Israel and humanity. And letter A is God's covenant promises to Abraham. God's covenant promises to Abraham. Okay, so let's look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Okay? So there we have the word from. We have it twice, and then we see to the land. So, go forth. Well, no, we actually see the word from three times. Go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we see what we just read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. We see it here. So it was repeated, okay, in Galatians. We see it that it was repeated by Paul. Now, you see a lot of repeats in the Old Testament, especially by Paul, where he uses a lot of Old Testament scripture to point out doctrine. Okay, so what do we see here? Well, we see that Israel's history began with God's call to Abraham. Well, here we see Abram, and we know that his name was later called Abraham. God called Abraham to do what? Leave his homeland, leave his family, leave his father's house, and go to a land that he would show him. Along with that call, God made a promise. It is called the Abrahamic Covenant. Okay, so God promised Abraham that he would become a great nation, and that his descendants would live in a specific land. And out of that great nation would come a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Now, worldwide, there are three categories of religion. Okay, there is the category of Christian religion. Now, underneath that Christian religion is a whole gamut of religions, faiths. Okay, underneath that Christian religion, you could put Roman Catholics there, you could put Protestants there, you could put Mormons there, you could put anybody that is not Jewish and that is not Muslim, which is the other two. Okay, Judaism and Muslims. All three consider Abraham to be their father. Okay, and we'll see that tonight. Okay, you will see of how Christianity, I'm talking about Christ, came from the loins, eventually from the loins, from the seed of Abraham. So Genesis chapter 12 and all the way through chapter 50, which is all through the book of Genesis, it records the history of Abraham and his descendants. God passed his covenant with Abraham down to Abraham's descendants. Now, Abraham had a son. His name was what? Anybody remember? Come on, say it. It's okay. Starts with an I. Isaac. Okay, I saw you mouth with it. Okay. Isaac. Then Isaac had a son. We're studying them right now on Sunday nights. Starts with a J. Jacob. Okay, and then Jacob had lots of sons, but one of them was his most loved son, his favorite son, that he made a coat of many colors for. What was his name? Joseph. There you have the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So if anybody asks you, who are the patriarchs of the Jews, you will say whom? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Okay? Do y'all have that? Is it sealed? Kim, is it there? It's there. Okay. So who's the first one? Oh, it took her a long time to get okay, all right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. All right. Now, how many wives did Isaac have? Or Jacob? What was Isaac's wife's name? Rebecca. Okay. Now, how many wives did Jacob have? Two. Rachel and Leah. Okay. Which one of them gave Jacob the most children? Leah did. Okay. Leah gave him the most. Rachel gave him three, I believe. I think gave him one before Joseph and Benjamin. Okay? But Joseph was his favorite of them all. Okay? Now, Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah because he gave her his favorite son, Joseph. Joseph was the second youngest among the 12 brothers. The 10 older brothers, did they like Joseph or did they dislike Joseph? Yeah, they disliked him. Why? Huh? He was the favorite. He was the favorite. And remember, Joseph had a dream. He dreamed about the 12 sheaves that were going to bow down, okay, to the one, and that he would be the one. And they're like, I'm not bowing down to you, you little squirt. Okay, that ain't happening. Okay? And then what happened later? What did his brothers do to him? They sold him into slavery. Where did they sell him to? They sold him to Egypt. And you know the rest of the story there. Okay, so that leads to letter B. And that is Jacob's blessing of Judah. Now, after it was discovered that Joseph was actually alive and that he was in charge of the food supply in Egypt and throughout the known world at that time, Joseph then sent his brothers back to get his father and to bring them all to Egypt to live. So where did Jacob die? He died in Egypt. So he lived there. Now, in Genesis chapter 49 and verses 1 through 28 is a very, very interesting. It is very easy that if you're doing the Bible through the year calendar, it is very easy to get to Genesis chapter 49 and skip it. And I don't mean to skip over reading it, but to just fly through it. It's like when you get to the begats in Numbers. Begat, 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 begat. But you know, when you're reading those begats, you'll find if you go slow enough, you'll find some nuggets. You'll find some really interesting passages of Scripture there. Well, there is a very interesting passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 49. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 49, and what happens in Genesis chapter 49 is that Jacob gives a blessing to all of his sons. Now, one thing that is interesting in all of these blessings is a description. Who knows their sons more than the father? I mean, he knows all about them. He knows about what makes them tick. He knows what their life has been up until that point. And Jacob has been given a foreknowledge of the future for their son, for his sons. Now, he goes down the whole list. Okay, he talks about Reuben. He talks about Simeon and Levi. He talks about in verse 8, this is the one we're going to focus on here, is Judah. Now, I want you to know something very interesting here. He says, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him up? Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 is very interesting here. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Now, I want to break down now verse 10. Let me break it down for you. Okay, first of all, back in verse 8, it says, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, he is not talking about your brothers right now. But he is saying that your brother's children for generations from now until eternity, they will all bow down to your seed. Now, I want you also note something in verse 10. There is an interesting word, and that is the word scepter. Now, what does that mean? It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Okay? How many of you have ever seen pictures of the king or queen of England when they're in their full array? Okay, one of the most interesting things that I saw when I was in London this time last year was we went through the Tower of London, and in the Tower of London are the crown jewels. They've got them from the very beginning of England being established as their own country, from the ordination of the first king, I think it was a king, and then for every ruler up until now, with Queen Elizabeth II, her crown, the globe, which has a cross on the top, which signifies the rule of the United Kingdom, and then a scepter. The scepter has a diamond on the top. So when the next time, I guess if Charles is still living, when they pass to the next who's in line, which would be his son, okay, when they put the crown, on the king or queen, they then also give the ball and the scepter. Okay? The scepter is a sign of rule. So here we see that the scepter is given to the king or the ruler. It is a wand of kingship that extends here, that shows power, that shows lordship, that shows rule. Now, we see another word, and that is the word Shiloh. The word Shiloh is a reference to the Messiah. So the word Shiloh can mean to whom it belongs. So, let's take the word scepter and let's take the word Shiloh. Let's put them together. What does that mean? The rule, the scepter, the lordship belongs to whom? Shiloh. Who is whom? The Messiah. So what is being said just here in this verse? This is a prophecy of Christ coming forth from whose seed? Judah. Who came from whose seed? Okay, Jacob. Who came through whose seed? Isaac, who came through whose seed? Abraham. Okay? You following the line here, the genealogy line. Okay? Now, Christ's rule is not established on earth yet. Okay? Satan is still the ruler. Okay? God is sovereign, But now let me explain to you that rule over the earth right now. It is Satan. It is the forces of darkness. It is his minions. But he can only rule as much as God will allow. Remember with Job. Okay, the very first chapter of Job. What is Satan doing? He is going throughout the earth looking for something to do. And God says, what are you doing? I'm paraphrasing here. What are you doing? Well, I'm going around to and fro looking for someone. Well, then what does God do? Have you considered my servant Job? Well, I can't bother him because you have a hedge of protection round about him. Well, then God gives him permission. Listen, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that Satan and his forces of evil can do without God's permission. Nothing. Okay? You following that? Nothing. No, we can take great comfort in that, right? So back in Galatians chapter 3. So let's go back there. So keep your finger here. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. We've already read verse 8, but I want us to read verses 13 through 16. I should have told you to go ahead and keep your place there, but I'm sorry about that. We already read verse 8, but now I want to read to you verses 13 through 16. Okay, it says, "Cursed," or Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." There we have another Old Testament reference. "In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of whom?" Whose name is mentioned? Abraham. "Might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant," talking about the Abrahamic covenant, "yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his," what? "Seed." He does not say, "and to seeds." Okay? Seed. One seed. As referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, singular, that is whom? Christ. Okay? So Genesis 49, 11 and 12 talks about the future of Christ as a time of great prosperity. That is when Christ will return and set up his new kingdom here on earth. Now, when you read the latter part of Genesis, okay, when you read Genesis chapter 50, okay, Jacob dies, his brothers, Joseph's brothers, then think, okay, dad's dead, Joseph now is going to do something to destroy us. Remember what Joseph said? Joseph said, "You may have meant it to harm, but God meant it to good. If you would have not sold me into slavery, I would not be the position that I am in now, and you would have all starved to death. Because God put me into this position to save you." Okay? Now, you would think when you read the end of Genesis, well, everything must end well for the Israelites. Okay? Because they're in Egypt, but they're living in a land of prosperity. And then you see that Joseph dies. It died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. That's how Genesis ends. You think, wow, the Israelites must be living quite prosperous and doing very well. Well, now let's go to the book of Exodus. Okay, next book over. It's the book of Exodus. So here we see number two, and that is that God worked his plan. God worked his plan. Okay, let's read verses 1 through 7. "Now these are the names of the son of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They each came with his own household." Okay, that's very significant that we see that. That they each came with their own household. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, all the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation, but the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, that the land was filled with them. Now a new king, or new Pharaoh, arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now, we do not know how many years has now passed between the end of Genesis till the first chapter of Egypt, or I'm sorry, Exodus. Now, I am thinking here, just off the top of my head, that probably at least a couple of hundred years has passed by. Okay, there's a space of time. If you have a Scofield Bible, it actually gives you the years. Okay, and I didn't take time to look at that. But a couple of hundred years has probably already passed by. So how many kings have they probably already gone through? At least one? If not, maybe two? They could be on the third one up to this point. The third one now has forgotten all about Joseph, has forgotten all of the prosperity, and has forgotten all about what was going to happen with the Israelites. But what does he see? He sees Egyptians and lots of Israelites. Okay? So the first point that I want you to look at underneath this, and that is that God grew his nation. Okay? Now, Jacob moved to Egypt with 70 people. By the time Exodus opens, his descendants had grown exceedingly, and the land of Egypt was filled with Israelites. So has God been faithful? Yes or no? Yes, he's been faithful. He has been faithful to make his promises to make of Abraham a great nation. Now, because the nation of Israel, or the Israelites, is growing, you would think that the Egyptians would want to make peace with the Israelites, right? But no. The king, or the Pharaoh, now let me explain to you what the Pharaoh is. The term Pharaoh means ruling family. Okay? So where you see the ruling Pharaoh is talking about the ruling family. But then as you go on through the book of Exodus, you'll see one person being named, and that is the Pharaoh. He is the one that is the king. He is the leader of the family. Okay, following me? That's just a little bit of a side note. Okay, you're not going to see that on your quiz, your test. You might see an extra credit question. Okay, but what does this king fear? He fears that since the Israelites are growing so much in number, that they will then try to overrule the Egyptians. Or if there is an invading army that comes in, then they will side with the invading army and overrule the Egyptians. So what does he do? Well, he sets a goal to prevent Israel from leaving the land. And that goal would be to put them underneath slavery. Now, I want you to note a few things here with this next chart here that's going to pop up. There's Pharaoh's plan A. Pharaoh's plan A. Now, once again, this Pharaoh knew nothing about Joseph. He knew nothing about Joseph's contribution to saving Egypt. He knew nothing about the Abrahamic covenant. All he sees is that the nation of Israel, or the Israelites, is exploding in power or in numbers, and he views them as a threat. So he wants to keep Israel from leaving. So if you see in chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2, It says that, and after Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. They belong to me. I own you. I own them." Okay, so I want you to look at this chart here. And it is Pharaoh versus God. Pharaoh said, I just read to you, "I do not know this Lord. I don't know him. I've never heard of him. I don't know who this Jehovah God is that you're talking about. I don't know him." Okay, so let's look at this. Okay, first thing is this. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh, first of all, afflicted the Hebrews to limit their number. Now, how did he do that? By saying, "You cannot have any more children." Okay? So that led to another thing. But what does God do? God grew them in number. Pharaoh says, "Stop having children." God says, "Have children. In fact, I'm going to bless you with more children." Now, there's Pharaoh's plan B. Okay, so plan A was stop having children. Pharaoh's plan B is this. He responded to Israel's increase in strength and number by making the people work even harder. It says in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks, and at all kinds of labor in the field, all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them." Now, what was his reason behind that? Wear them out so much physically so that they would go home and be too tired and exhausted to want to have children. To distract them from the normal life of marrying and having children. But what does God do? Well, God gives them strength. The hard work does not break them and their family. So what is Pharaoh doing here? He makes the Hebrews serve with rigor to limit their number. What does God do? He continues to grow the Israelites in number. Then there's plan C. Plan C is this. Let's go to verses 15 through 17, chapter 1. "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives." Now, what is a midwife? Midwife is one that helps deliver the children. "One of whom was named Shiphrah and the other was named Puah. And he said, 'When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.' But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live." Interesting. So what was his plan C? Kill the boys, let the girls live. Okay, now, this reminds me of something that's going on in the world today. What do we call that? We call that abortion. Okay, you don't want to have that baby? Okay, fine, just go kill it. Okay? And did you know that the founder of Planned Parenthood, her name was Margaret Sanger, she was the ultimate racist. And it was her goal that when she is the founder of Planned Parenthood, that she would put Planned Parenthood clinics in poor African American communities in an attempt to snuff out the black race. Read her quotes. And she is the hero to Hillary Clinton. When asked, when Hillary Clinton ran for president against Donald Trump, she was asked, "Who is your hero?" She, with no hesitation, said, "Margaret Sanger. She is the ultimate feminist." She was a racist, she was an atheist, and she tried to snuff out the black race. And by the way, Obama also says, and Michelle Obama, both of them say, Margaret Sanger is their hero. And she tried to snuff out your race, and she's your hero. Okay? I just shake my head at that. Okay? Now, it also reminds me of China. In China, you cannot have girl babies. If you have an ultrasound and they discover it's a girl, you're required by law to have it aborted. Or you can pay the government money to have that child, but you have to continue paying that government money for you to keep the child. Or the child goes to an orphanage. If you can no longer pay, the child goes to an orphanage and lives there and dies, or hopefully someone from another country will come in and adopt the child. That's going on in China. So what kept the midwives from killing the Hebrew boys? They feared God. They feared God. So, what is plan C here? Plan C was kill all the boys, keep the girls. Okay? So, what did Pharaoh do? He said, command the midwives to kill the baby boys. What did God say? Midwives feared God. Spared the baby boys. Then he has plan D. Plan D is this. He makes the Egyptians basically executioners. Okay, for every... See, the midwives wouldn't do it. So what does he now tell all the Egyptians to do? You see an Israelite boy, you kill him. You exterminate him. Just kill him. Throw them in the Nile. Now, what happens when they get thrown into the Nile? If you know anything about the Nile River, what is it full of? Crocodiles. Okay? They love to eat things. Okay? So he has another plan. Let's look at verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. So now let's look at the last chart. This is where we're going to stop tonight because if we keep going on, we may not get out of here until 9 o'clock. Okay? Command the Egyptian people to throw the baby boys in the Nile. What did God do? God spared Moses. He spared Moses and provided for his training in Pharaoh's house. We're going to talk about that at length next week, of how God provided the training for Moses in the house of the very one that tried to snuff him out. That is sovereignty, exactly. All right. Any questions, comments before we dismiss? All right, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that as we read your word, that Father, we see you, we see your hand, we see your sovereignty. And Father, I pray that your sovereignty would be very special to us. And Father, dismiss us with thy blessing. And I pray that as we go home tonight, keep us safe. And as we go throughout the rest of this week, keep us safe as well. Help this church, Lord, to grow spiritually, but also numerically and financially. And to be a light that punches holes in the darkness to those that need Christ in their lives. And Father, I pray that you would bring people to us that need to be born again and follow you in believers' baptism and to grow in their spirituality and their sanctification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll see you back here Sunday morning.